Did anybody see that? Anybody see who put that up there?
Nobody.
What was up there?
Nobody even noticed them.
I did just mess
with you.
He's just messing with you.
Oh.
Somebody's playing with you, Monty. It might have been. Oh, it happened Monday night.
It might have happened Wednesday.
I should have thought of that right
after. No.
It might have happened Monday night. Afterwards, somebody might have been Cade, might have been playing with you.
Somebody, yeah, Cade might have put it up.
Harlow Green, somebody.
You ever read the Talmud, Brother Monty?
To who?
The Talmud.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lots of it.
Very interesting stuff.
There is some interesting stuff in there. Praise the Lord. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. This is the Father's house. This is not the hog pen.
It is not the hog pen.
There is peace in the house.
Peace.
Joy in the house.
Joy.
Healing in the house.
Amen.
Salvation in the house.
Amen.
Everything you need is in the house.
Yes, Lord.
Everything you want is in the house.
Yes.
If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for healing our bodies, for raising us up and delivering us. We thank you for this great assembly gathered here this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. And give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer in Jesus' name. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. Acts 24. We were talking about Paul's defense before Felix. And we got down to about verse 18 where we started talking about where he said, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple. And we talked about that for quite a while. Then verse 19, I guess we'll start there this morning. These folks, these certain Jews from Asia, found me purified in the temple, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Well, we know what happened to them. They were all too weak to come because they had taken a vow, an oath. They'd sworn an oath not to eat or drink anything until they killed Paul. So they'd done passed out. They were they were out.
Laid up.
They were laid up. But anyhow, or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or to come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So this went on for 2 years.
Can you imagine living like that?
It's amazing. It's amazing that this guy, this Felix character, could have Paul for a teacher for 2 years and not get saved. That is incredible.
All the way to his knees knocking, but he resisted it.
Yeah. He was afraid. He trembled. But he just didn't get there.
Well, I don't know if we can say that he just didn't get there at that particular time. The seed was planted. So I don't know. He said, I'll call you for a more opportune time. I don't know if somebody came by and watered it and something gave, but right here telling us it didn't.
No, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this went on for 2 years, and it says here he called him over and over and over. He sent for him the oftener and communed with him, so he sent for him repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Apparently he was just hoping to get some money from him. So, you know what they say, the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. Yes, Ann? Unsaved deacons.
That goes on. And the pastors,
it does go on.
And they'll go outside and smoke the cigarettes and stuff, you know. And I mean, that goes on in church.
Come from the clothes, take the shower, and head to church.
That's sad to say, but that does go on in some churches.
In some churches.
Some of the real churches would not allow.
But as knowledgeable and with the experience,
yeah,
amen.
That is hard to figure.
Didn't Felix die on the island of Patmos in 72? Wasn't he on the island of Patmos when that volcano erupted? From what I understand, he was on that island.
Patmos didn't erupt.
That volcano.
That was in Pompeii.
Pompeii, yeah, Bill's Pompeii, I'm sorry.
Now, that's possible.
From what I understand, he was on that island.
That is possibility.
It was like a resort.
That is a possibility. I would not doubt that.
But I believe he was.
Well, that's. I'm going to look that up to see if that's the case. That would be interesting to find out.
I'm finding it interesting in the things that Paul taught him about.
Yeah.
It says he reasoned with him about righteousness, about temperance, and guess what else?
Judgment to come.
Yeah. Wow. So he was talking to him about things. That's what it says. And Felix trembled.
That's interesting.
Mm. Righteousness, yeah. And you know, today people don't really think they need to live holy lives.
Temperance.
Yeah.
Denying yourself.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to deny themselves anymore.
I say these three things are kind of.
And judgment to come. Nobody wants to talk about judgment. Nobody wants to talk about consequences. Nobody wants to talk about the consequences of not living a holy life.
Well, everybody's been programmed now, man, just to be a taker. See, there is no consequences on your actions anymore. There's nothing. You just do what you want to do, like getting pregnant. Well, we got places to take care of that now.
No, you're right about that, Nick. Nobody wants consequences anymore for anything. And, you know, the grace message that we hear preached now.
I had to pay for my consequences, brother.
The grace message teaches that there's really no consequences.
The new one.
The new grace message, yeah. The greasy grace message.
The real grace message is.
Greasy grace.
Yeah.
Greasy, make our heart stop.
Greasy grace.
But the real grace
it's all greased down.
Is that there is grace.
Right.
That, you know, I give you grace. You can resist the devil and he will flee from you. I give you grace to overcome.
Yeah.
We are overcomers.
And if you do mess up, there's grace and everything, man, to forgive you of those
yes,
sins.
Yes, you can be forgiven. Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, the flip side of that, and it was sad, I heard a preacher saying that the grace message is so messed up until he's just not going to preach on grace or think about grace anymore. No, grace is a major part of your
yes, ma'am.
Salvation. Exactly. You can't throw it out because it's being messed up with some other preacher. That's what the enemy wants
yeah,
us to
yeah, I
do.
Know. That's
and
true.
And then all we'll hear is
that
thoughts.
That is true. The same thing is true of the prosperity message.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a lot of people criticize the prosperity message, and some of us have gone crazy. Folks have gone completely crazy over it.
$50 and I'll
yeah, yeah, people have gone nuts.
Out.
They've gone nuts over the prosperity message, but that doesn't mean that we ought not preach prosperity from the Bible, because if you take prosperity out of the Bible, you'd have to gut it like a fish.
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
yes,
I mean, prosperity is part of your covenant.
It's all in there.
Blood covenant.
It's all in there. So you can't not preach it, but you got to have some balance. You got
balance.
You need balance.
Balance.
Need to do it right.
But they want to throw the baby out with the baby.
I know that's true. I know that is absolutely right.
He ain't preaching it anymore. He don't believe in it anymore. I'm like,
yeah.
Man, come on, that's a major part of your.
You know that's the hard part. You're just trying to strike the balance is the hard part. That's the hard part. You know, you can get up there and preach, you know, fear and trembling so hard that, you know, and never talk about forgiveness, never talk about any of that. You can just get up there and, you know, and talk about this, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And, you know, that's not hard. That's not hard to do. Or you can get up there and preach that anything goes. You know, God loves you just like you are. You don't need to change, don't need to do anything. That's not hard either. What is hard is to get it right. Now to get it right in the middle and get it nice and level and true, that's the hard part. Compared to that, end times is easy, man. That's easy.
All
of
them.
It's the end of the book.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the end, baby.
All right, glory to God. Let's see. Let's start on chapter 25 here. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest, the chief of the Jews, informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, lying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea. Once again, you leave Jerusalem and go down to Caesarea. Now Caesarea is north of Jerusalem, and but you can't go down from anywhere. You can't go down from Jerusalem to anywhere on the planet. We've talked about this before. So you can't go down. You can't go up. That's right. I got this backwards. You cannot go up from Jerusalem. You have to go down. Wherever you go from Jerusalem, it's always down. So you know, just note this whenever you see it in the Bible, whenever anybody leaves Jerusalem, they always go down. It don't matter where they go. They always go down. Theologically speaking, not geographically speaking now, but theologically speaking, every place on the planet is lower than Jerusalem. Jerusalem's the highest point on the planet.
But if you're going to Jerusalem, you go up.
Then you go up. Exactly right. You always go up to Jerusalem, no matter where you are.
Revelation class.
That's right.
You got the hammer.
And so, yeah.
Well, he had a hammer.
I wore that thing out. I wore it out last week. I wore that hammer slap out. I knocked a hole in the table here.
Hey, the students were like, we get it. That was fun.
We had a good time last Monday. That was good. All right, let's see here.
We were animated.
Verse 6. Yeah, we were animated. It's like I like to say when you study Revelation with a lot of folks, a lot of times it turns into a knife fight. And that's kind of what it was last time. It got wild.
Keep your weapon handy.
Yeah. get your shield up. All right, praise the Lord. It's all good. We had a lot of fun. And we're going to have a lot more fun tomorrow night. Praise God.
Whoa. Get ready. My wife can come. We need somebody to keep the girls.
Get ready. It's going to be something. I need two gavels.
She needs to be pounded, brother.
She needs to be.
Dying is a man. She was reading a magazine this morning.
Reading a magazine?
I was supposed to be in here at church 6 o'clock this morning. Did you hear her at 7:30? Because, buddy, we had a long discussion about Zionism. She's like, I don't believe that. Did you study it? No, I still don't believe it. No, I don't think Jerusalem. No.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 7, and when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove.
Let me tell you something. That sounds about like nowadays.
Yeah. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. Now, you know, this is an interesting statement that he makes here, and I'm not sure I'm entirely comfortable with it, because, you know, Paul was teaching that it didn't do you any good to keep the law. And so how in the world do you say that you can teach, you know, it doesn't do you any good to keep the law, you're not saved by keeping the law. So if you're not saved by keeping the law, why keep the law?
Keep you out of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, that would keep you out of trouble. Of course, the law includes all of those offerings, all of those sacrifices, and all of that, you know.
It's also about tattoos. It's about markings for the dead. It's about
all kinds of stuff like that. That's right. Absolutely. It involves all. It's a very intricate thing, you know. And so Paul did teach this. This was what Paul taught, that the law did not save you. Circumcision didn't save you, and circumcision was part of the law. Circumcision didn't save you. Gentiles didn't need to be circumcised. I don't know how you really say. It's hard for me to really agree with Paul that he didn't offend anything against the law. Because when you teach against the law, doesn't that sort of offend the law if you teach against it and say it's passed away and it's done, it's over and done with? That's what he taught in Hebrews.
Not unless he was thinking this way. He was saying it. You know, Paul said something that really kind of stood out to me. He said, I harm no man. I wrong no man.
That's true. You know,
maybe Paul
that is true.
Was looking at it in the light.
That is true.
Of just not even that the law had been fulfilled. Maybe he was looking at it in a different spirit. When you deal with Paul, you really have to just really ask Holy Spirit, what is Paul? You have to do like Peter said, some of his teaching is just hard to understand.
Well, that's true.
You really have to ask the Holy Spirit, where was Paul? What was Paul really thinking when he said? When he said that. And he might just been thinking on just, not just the law, but what he believed in then. I didn't offend anybody, you know, from teaching.
Yeah.
Well, the law and everything, what I've been studying on what you're talking about right there, is the law is actually what we call it the law, and it's what is written, you know, the translation, but it's actually instructions, you know, what God had established. And what I believe what he's telling is that the law, the instructions cannot save you, and it never did save you, ever, okay? It was the covenant that you have with God that saved you. And what the law, what the instructions actually do is point you out that, you know, this right here is bad and everything. Just don't mess with it, you know, stuff. On
but
certain
he was
things.
Talking about the old law.
I know he was talking. Yes, he was.
The old covenant.
Yes, he was.
Church, he said it was a schoolmaster.
Yes,
to bring us into.
He was.
It was a schoolmaster.
Didn't do anything, but it was a schoolmaster.
Yeah.
But now all that's written right here.
But
right
now, of course, that you know, that's teaching against the law as far as.
So you're wondering how he could say he
how?
Didn't
that's
anybody.
Right. That's exactly right. When you say, like he does in Hebrews, that the law has waxed old, that the covenant, that the old that the covenant had waxed old and is now ready to vanish away. How do you say you're not teaching against that? How do you say you're not offending that covenant? I don't know. But anyhow, he said it, okay? He said it. And so he said it. And there he goes. You know, Paul... Paul's got to answer for himself.
We'll ask him
when we get there. We'll have to ask him when we get there. God help us. That's right. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, "Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me?" Then said Paul, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest." Now, he's absolutely right about that. He hadn't done anybody any wrong. You're right. And Sister Mary brought that out. As far as he had harmed no man, he had wronged no man, he had done no man any wrong.
Well, see, they had ought against him because he used to be one of them. Okay, that's one thing. But then again, on the other side, too, they had ought against him. It's because they said he was teaching heresy.
Well, that's right. And to them, it was heresy. And
but also, he was one of them at one time.
That's correct. So it was to them heresy, and it's hard to talk to an Orthodox Jew today and try to explain to them what you just said to me. It's hard to explain to them in such a way that they wouldn't think that you were against the law some kind of way. Okay, it's hard because. That's the way they are. That you talk about the Talmud and all of that. Of course,
it shows what sin is. I don't believe the Talmud is not part of the law.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it is.
Some of that stuff I was reading this morning too.
Yes, it is. Okay, it's what they call the oral law. But anyway, we'll move on. Yeah, that's right. So then he said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat." So now. He says, I appeal to Caesar. Let me read another verse there. Where I ought to be judged. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. So, Paul uses his citizenship as a way to get away from the Jews, who would have killed him for sure if he'd have gone to Jerusalem. That was the plan.
Amen.
And they quite probably would have accomplished their purpose had he gone to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as far as we can tell, he went to Caesar and was killed of Caesar. But it took a few more years.
It wasn't his time.
It wasn't his time. You're
wasn't
right.
His time.
Now you're right.
He had to write. He had to do.
That's true.
It just wasn't his time.
And all of those
Paul
things.
Paul knew it wasn't his time. So that's where
yep,
he had to talk his
that's
way
true.
Out of that. He said, "It ain't my time."
That is correct. So he went to Caesar, and in the meantime, it took several years for him to get before Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, Paul wrote many of his great letters. And so if Paul had been killed at this point, I don't know how many letters we'd have had, if any, at this point. And so we'd have been in bad shape without Paul's epistles. And so, but Paul used his Roman card, his citizenship card, to get out of the hands of the Jews.
I believe it was what the Lord, the Lord said, take no thought what you shall say, but it will be given to you that same hour. And I believe that's exactly what Paul had happened to him several times.
Yeah, the Lord gave him what to say and how to say it to get him out of
situations.
Out of certain situations.
Yeah, you see, Peter couldn't have done that.
No, he couldn't. Uh-uh.
Peter was not a Roman citizen. Mm-mm. And he couldn't, it wouldn't work for him. So he'd have been stuck.
he didn't know how to talk like that.
No, he didn't.
We all understand he denied. He denied.
Yeah.
He had a temper. He had some other issues. He wasn't as quiet as, he's a fisherman, so he wasn't quite as intelligent.
Paul,
and
no, he wasn't.
People recognized that. They said,
you're right. You're right. He was
not an intelligent man, but I know one thing, you've been with God.
Yeah, that's right.
You're doing
that's
some
true.
Great works, but you're not intelligent.
Paul was a special
very
vessel.
Intelligent.
There's no man about no doubt about
well
it.
Learned.
Very, very special vessel.
But not well learned.
He was well learned and intelligent.
Now, I believe Peter was too. I believe he was, because he was a businessman. He just wasn't well learned.
The fishermen were considered not quite as.
Well, the cowboys used to
anybody could be a fisherman, They didn't have to study. They didn't have to do, any of that. They didn't have to learn, any of that. I think Jesus chose, he said he chose them because he was that way. He could have went and got some real, men of the
yes, he could.
Caliber. But
I believe he got men from different walks of life.
And then he got them from there because they were open to him.
They were looking for something.
And Sister Mary, I just wanted to point
extremely.
Out the scripture that it says that, God used the foolish things to confound the wise.
Yeah, yeah.
And
big time.
The man would have thought fishermen, but God, he used those things.
Well, see, God was going to teach him how to fish for men.
That's true. Yeah. That's right.
He could
right.
train
Absolutely.
Him how to fish for men.
That's correct.
And he told him to let your net up on the other side. And
yeah.
He taught them. They thought they knew how to fish. They had been doing that for a living for all their
yeah.
life. But they said, nevertheless, at your word, we'll drop it on the right side.
Well, let me ask you
and something. Really what he was doing was getting them prepared for the day of Pentecost.
Yeah,
that
he
I mean, he might not have the ability that Paul had, but he won so many souls
Absolutely.
After
yeah.
one little old message yeah. by listening to the Spirit.
Glory to God, that's
Jesus.
True.
Let me ask you.
I mean, they put down everything. I mean, they have houses, mother-in-law.
And then when they said, when they left everything, Jesus said, yeah, left nothing.